Morning, everybody. Do not be discouraged that there are so few of you. Be encouraged that many people are serving and enjoying the Accelerate weekend for the young people in Histon. So I just want to encourage you all that that's where a lot of people are. There are some people doing other things like skiing, but a lot of people are helping and serving on that. And so be encouraged. I just wanted to welcome back Ian Randall and his wife Janice. Thank you so much for coming back. They've been supporting us through Kate's maternity leave, and we really appreciate that. And thank you for coming to take our service this morning.
Thank you, Paula. Thank you for the welcome this morning. And as we come to worship God, first of all, some words that I'll read from Psalm 95, which tie in with our first song, which we're going to sing after that. From Psalm 95, we read, "Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care." So let's stand to sing, "Come, now is the time to worship." Thank you very much for leading us and in that song that takes up so wonderfully the words that we find in Psalm 95. And also has the mention of treasure, the greatest treasure. And that's actually going to be our theme later in the service when we come to our Bible reading, which talks about someone who has found treasure and also found the pearl of great price. And so today we invite each person to come with faith in their hearts, knowing that our faith is not perfect, but that God accepts us. And so we come in that spirit of faith and of trust. And I'll read one or two verses as we think about this together. And this is a very well-known verse. "God loved the world so much that he gave his only Son, that everyone who has faith in him may not die, but have eternal life." And another verse, "Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that is God's own proof of his love towards us." And a verse from Matthew. We're thinking about Matthew this morning. From Matthew chapter 11, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." And so we're invited to come to receive blessing this morning. And the Apostle Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. He says, "I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me, for whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" So this is a kind of treasure that we have, a blessing, something that we can enter into today. We're thinking, as I said a bit later, about the theme of discovering something. And each time we come, we can discover again the love of God towards us. Some time ago, I was speaking at Waterbeach Baptist Church, not too far from here, and I was leading the communion service there. And I'd never been there before, I'd never led the communion service before, and I was just at the point of the service that we are today, and I held up the cup that they have in Water Beach Baptist Church, the cup that you take. Not everyone was sharing the cup because they have the small cups as well, but it was the one cup. And suddenly I looked at what was written on this cup, and it was a present in the middle of the 19th century from C.H. Spurgeon, who had been the minister of Water Beach Baptist Church when he was age 16, actually. He started as minister through to age 19, and then he went to London. And this was a present after he had left from the church in London and from him to Water Beach Baptist Church. And I was just overwhelmed to think I was holding in my hand this amazing part of history. And of course, I taught at Spurgeon's College for many years, so it's all about Spurgeon. So there was a great treasure for me there in that moment to think about that great part of history. But the treasure is not always a physical treasure that you hold. It is a treasure in our hearts. And so we are going to be sharing that treasure with each other today. After we've sung our next song, the young people are going to go out to their group. But I'm just interested, because with the adults that are staying, we're going to be talking about treasure. And this is really for anybody, but maybe especially the young people. Has this ever happened to you, the kind of thing that we read about in the part of the Bible we're going to be reading, where a man was doing his normal job and then he discovered amazing treasure he wasn't expecting to discover? Has anybody had that experience? Anybody suddenly come across something really valuable that they weren't expecting to find? I told you one experience I had at Water Beach Baptist Church. It wasn't that that was really valuable. If it went on the Antiques Roadshow or something, it probably wouldn't actually fetch all that much money, unless perhaps an American was wanting to buy up Spurgeonic material. But it was very, very valuable to me to know that that was there. So I don't know whether... some people go out metal detecting, don't they, to try and find valuables. And other people. You were?
I found a wedding ring once
again. Oh, did you?
Yeah.
What did you do with it?
Well, I think it was, well, I forgot it actually.
Okay. It's probably not all that valuable. But we'll assume that you didn't go off with a very, very valuable ring. Yeah. So, just, well, that's a good example, because it's a bit like what this man was doing. He was walking, probably, with his, walking along with his plow, and then he discovered something that he wasn't expecting to discover. You might, or might not, have heard of Terry Herbert. He was one of these people who was interested in metal detecting, and for years and years and years, he kept hoping that he would make some great discovery. Difficult to keep going year after year, perhaps, when you don't make the discovery. But in the end he did, because he found some Anglo-Saxon relics that were worth over £3 million. And so it made it all worthwhile, really, his many years of looking for that. That happened, his discovery happened in 2009, so not too long ago. There was a problem, because he discovered it in a field, and there was a big dispute about whether it belonged to him or belonged to the person who owned the field. So sometimes these valuables can cause some problems between people. But the really important thing was that his long search had found this treasure. And although one of the stories that we're going to be reading is an unexpected discovery, actually we're called to seek and to look for things that are valuable. That's what the gospel says. Go on asking and seeking. And that's what Terry did, when in the end he found this very, very valuable discovery. And so we're going to sing a song which reminds us of how we are called to seek first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first. We're going to sing four verses of this in the hymn books. It's the first three and the sixth verses only. So it reminds us we are called to seek God, to seek to follow Jesus, and in that seeking, we can discover a great treasure. And now Janice is going to bring our Bible reading.
Reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 13, initially, verses 44 to 46. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all that he had and bought the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. And now we pass to Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 to 26, about the rich young man. Now a man came up to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied. "There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments." "Which ones?" the man inquired. Jesus replied, "Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." "All these I have kept," the young man said. "What do I still lack?" Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go, sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "I tell you the truth, it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." Amen.
So later in our service, we're going to think about these passages. And as we think about them, we realize that we're being called to a life that has great treasure, but also has sacrifice. A life in which we're called to be transformed, to be changed. And we're going to sing a song, "All I Once Held Dear," which takes up this theme. You stand to sing. So, seeking treasure, or in the case of the other example in Matthew chapter 13, looking for the pearl of great price. I don't know whether any of you know the name William Randolph Hearst. He was a kind of Rupert Murdoch of an earlier generation, a newspaper mogul. I know a bit about him, not particularly because I'm interested in newspaper moguls, but more because he was one of the people who discovered Billy Graham. When Billy Graham was a young preacher, William Randolph Hearst said, "This man is news," and nobody else realized that at the time, so he began to give publicity to Billy Graham. But another thing that William Randolph Hearst was very interested in was collecting treasures. And he had a lot of money, so he could pay a lot for treasures, and particularly art treasures. And he gathered a great number of art treasures, paintings, valuable paintings, and he kept some of them in his house, and some of them were housed in a warehouse. And one day he read about a very valuable piece of art, and he was determined that he was going to get it, and so he sent his agent out to find where this painting was, this very valuable painting. And the agent was searching around and making inquiries and was willing to pay anything, but he couldn't find this. Months were passing. And then he found it. And he reported back to William Randolph Hearst that he had found the painting. And, of course, he was asked immediately, so what do I have to pay to get this painting? And the answer was nothing, because the painting was already in William Randolph Hearst's warehouse. He already owned the painting that he was searching for. So it was a surprising outcome for him. And what Jesus is talking about really is surprising outcomes. The kingdom of God is a place of surprises. It's also a place where we discover things that are of great value that other people don't realize are of value, but they are. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, where God is at work, where Jesus is the Lord. So let's remind ourselves of this first story and then the second. So the first, a man plowing a field, and he hears his plow hit something. So he bends down and scoops away the dirt, and there he finds the buried treasure. And so he leaves his plow, and he goes back to the owner of the field, and he says, how much do you want for this field? I know, he said, it's worthless, really. This field is just a field. It's a rocky field. It's a barren field. So he tries to, no doubt, push the price down. But all the time, he's willing to pay anything, really, to buy this. And he does. He sells what he has to buy this field. Or the second one is much more intentional. The merchant, who is a bit like William Randolph Hearst, actually going out to try to find the pearl or pearls of great price. Now, these kind of stories, of course, were real stories. When Jesus told this, it wasn't something that people said, oh, well, I've never heard of that happening. It did happen in terms of the treasure in the field. There were no banks, no safes at that time. And so what would you do? You would hide some treasure in a field. And if it was your field, perhaps you thought it would be safe. Or perhaps you just forgot about if it wasn't all that valuable. Anyway, there would be an example that people would understand. And also, of course, the idea that somebody would give their life to making money was something also that people could understand then and also understand today. So what does this mean for us? It's not really so much about making ourselves rich, is it, with money, but it is something more valuable than money itself. And it's the discovery of Jesus. And I think this first picture, the unexpected discovery, could take us to some people's experience. Maybe it's your experience, where you weren't really searching for faith, and yet somehow your life was turned around because you encountered, first of all, perhaps a Christian who introduced you to Jesus, and then you encountered and came to know Jesus for yourself. And right through the story of the church, in all its history, perhaps the most famous would be Saul, who became the Apostle Paul. It wasn't that he was searching for Jesus, was he? He was actually persecuting the Christians. And on the road to Damascus, intent on persecuting Christians, his life was turned around. He met with Jesus. So that's an example that has, in different ways, happened to many different people. We still talk about the Damascus Road experience, or the light that suddenly comes. And some people say, oh, the light hasn't come for me yet. But I meet people, and I've met people over the years, who have had this kind of experience where they have encountered Jesus unexpectedly. They weren't expecting. And some of my work, even today in Edinburgh's hospital as a chaplain, I meet people who are giving this kind of testimony for things that have happened sometimes quite recently in their lives. But for others, and maybe this is more you, it's the search, the long search, wanting to find the meaning of life, and exploring, perhaps, as people do, many different religions, different spiritualities, and then ultimately discovering that Jesus is Lord and coming to know Jesus. And that's just as wonderful a discovery as the unexpected, because it is something that is the end of a road of searching. And both of these kinds of experiences are life-changing. Or not just our own encounter with Jesus. What about the life of our church community? What might we find there? And I've been involved, and Janice has been involved over the years, in many different Christian communities, because we've moved around and I've had different ministries and we've been in different places, different countries. And I've had this experience of finding the treasure that there is in a Christian community, the treasure that there is in each person that is part of that Christian community. And sometimes we haven't always dug deep enough just to discover what gift God has given to us and to other people within our Christian communities. And that perhaps is one of the ways in which we need to think about this discovery of treasure. Or it might be that this treasure is not yet in the church. It's people around us in the community outside the church. And it's hidden still, like that treasure was hidden in the field. It's not clear yet that actually these people are going to be part of the church in the future. And that's an important thing for us to think about. Not to think, oh, there's all these people who are not Christians, they don't want to know. Maybe some of them don't want to know, but some of them are not yet Christians and will become Christians. And the treasure is there in the field around us in the community. So to discover the treasure, some of you know that history is a great interest of mine, and I used to teach church history. And of course, church history and the teaching of history and research into history involves discovery of hidden treasures. Even in the last few months, I came across some manuscripts that nobody knew were there, and it's the excitement of something that you discover. A friend of mine has a whole collection of manuscripts and documents that he's gone to auctions and he's seen something that is very valuable for him. Other people didn't realize what was there, but he bids and he gets this kind of treasure. So in every kind of field, this happens. But what I want to also to say this morning is it's a really joyful thing when we make these discoveries, when we discover Christ for the first time, or when we discover something new within our community, some gift that the Spirit has given, something that is being released, somebody is taking on a new role. Because as we read what Jesus says, we read about the joy that there was in this discovery. It wasn't, oh dear, I've got to sell everything I've got, it's going to be terrible. Rather, it's the joy. And there is that, isn't there, in the Christian community. When we make these discoveries, they are joyful things. It's actually not that we have to sell and to buy in the kingdom of God. That's where we shouldn't take everything about the parable down to its most literal point. Because actually, what we discover in the kingdom of God is a gift from God. It isn't something that we have to buy, is it? But it does sometimes involve us leaving other things, letting go of other things, even giving away other things, so that we might have space in our lives for the things that God wants to do. And when we do that, we discover joy. At Spurgeon's College, when I was there, of course, I met many students who had given up lots to respond to God's call to become ministers, to train for ministry. People in their careers and in their situations had given up, had moved on in their lives. And it wasn't an atmosphere of misery because they had given up so much. It was an atmosphere of great joy. And Paul speaks in his letters, especially Philippians chapter 3, about nothing else mattering in life but to know Christ. We sang that in our song, All I Once Held Dear, knowing you, Jesus, knowing you. And Paul says, there's lots of things I've given up, but I'm not thinking about the things I've given up. I'm thinking about the wonderful gifts that I've received. And Philippians, where he talks about that, is above all a letter of joy and rejoicing because of what he's experienced. But our other reading shows us not everybody will make this choice. The other reading was the reading of about the young man who came to Jesus. And this is again found in Matthew, later on in the same Gospel, chapter 19. And he said to Jesus, according to Matthew's account, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus listed five of the commandments, plus another command from the Old Testament, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And initially, the young man said, I've done all this. And yet he knows that something isn't quite right because he still stays around with Jesus. And it's clear that Jesus loved this man, wanted him to become a disciple, but realized that there was a problem. There was a stumbling block. There was a barrier. And so he said to the young man, go and sell what you own and give your money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Not that he would be buying the treasure in heaven, but he needed to make space in his life. His life was too full of all these things that he had, that he had accumulated. And this was his problem. And it was only if he dealt with that that he would be able to follow Jesus. So what might be hindering us? What are the things that we're still holding back on and not fully following Jesus? We are perhaps already followers, but Jesus might be calling us to something more in his kingdom. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says these words, do not store up treasures on earth where moth and rust destroys and where thieves break through and steal, but store up treasures in heaven, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And so really, what's the most important thing? To follow Jesus. And after we've had our prayers for others, which Janice will bring to us, we'll sing our final song, which invites all of us to go in a direction which Jesus has pointed out, that our hearts might be connected with his kingdom. And I will have our prayers for others. So we conclude our service this morning with this hymn of invitation, Will You Come and Follow Me? And so, Lord, we thank you that we can receive the gift that you give us, a gift beyond price, to know you. And at the same time as receiving that gift, we receive a call. And we pray that through the power of your Spirit, we might continue to follow Jesus in whatever way he calls. And so now may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with each one of us and all those whom we love, now and forever. Amen.